Welcome to Shir and Targumim, Parshas Kiseitze. Wanted to start off looking at a few comments in the Targumim, first in the Targum Unculus, and then we'll see the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, with regard to the famous or infamous Parsha of the Ben Sorer Umore, the rebellious child. When a person has a child, again, Halacha tells us that it's a boy, the 3 months after he turns 13, he's an adolescent, he's so rare, he veers from the proper path, umore, and he's rebellious. Einenu shomea v'kol aviv uv'kol imo, he doesn't listen to his father or to his mother. Chazal add that the Ben Sorer Umore in question steals and consumes meat and wine from his parents. So in other words, it's not just that, you know, his bedtime is 9 o'clock and goes to bed 9:10. You know, there's specific things that he has to do. V'yisru oso v'lo yishma aleihem. So they chastise him and he doesn't listen to them. So then the pasuk continues, v'safsuva aviv imo, after he doesn't listen, his parents grab him, they bring him to the Beis Din, they say, this the son of ours isn't listening to us, or gomu kol anshei iru ba'avonim v'omeis. So he's stoned to death. V'chol yisrael yishmu v'yiro, all of the Jewish people see, you know, this is what happens when you don't listen, and certainly they take heed. Chazal tell us, according to most opinions of Gemara and Sanhedrin, that there never was a Ben Sorer or Umore. So, you know, maybe you don't have to be so worried, you know, in terms of this happening in actuality. But the impression you have from the Psukim is that all of this happens very, very rapidly. The kid doesn't listen, and the parents say, you know, you better listen, we're going to bring you to Beis Din. Nah, I'm not going to listen. Okay, we're going to Beis Din, and boom, you know, it sounds like it happens in a very, very short period of time. So Rashi adds over here from the Gemara and Sanhedrin that it's not as simple as all of that. Specifically on the Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Ches, when it says that he doesn't listen, the Pasuk says, V'yisru oso, they chastise him. What does that mean? So Rashi writes based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Masrin bo b'fnei shlosha, first he's admonished in the presence of three. As the presence of a Beis Din, he's admonished that, you know, this is unacceptable behavior. Again, what's the behavior in question? Not that he's staying up too late, you know, not that he talked back or anything like that. Very specific things. He steals, he consumes large portions of meat and wine. So, and then, umalkin oso. And then, as a first round of punishment, he's given lashes. And then if he doesn't, he continues to follow in his inappropriate ways after the lashes. So then he's brought back to Beis Din a second time. And then, potentially, he can get the punishment of skila, of death by stoning, which is described later on in the Chumash. Again, still quite a severe reaction. We know Rashi brings over here the famous statement of Chazal, that the Ben Sorer Umore is Nerag al Shem Sofo. What he's done per se is not so terrible in the big picture. I mean, again, you know, he hasn't behaved properly, but it's certainly not anything which per se is subject to the death penalty. We're worried about the path that he's taking, which he may, you know, he's in the beginnings of a path which may lead him to no good. Sof shemechalo mamon aviv, in the end of the day, he's not going to end up spending and wasting his father's money. Mavakish limudo ve'eno motze. He won't, again, the different ways to read that particular phrase, you know, one way to read it is that he's, you know, he's looking, you know, he becomes an addict, you know, he becomes addicted to a certain amount of meat and wine, and, you know, he just can't find enough. For Omid B'Parshas Drachim will last him as Abrius. On the end of the day, he'll stand on the crossroads and end up acting as a highway bandit, and it's going to end up in a no good place. He may end up killing people. Again, it's not clear in Rashi, but certainly, you know, he's killed now rather than come to this terrible end. Rashi interprets based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin the word v'yisru as they will flog him. Now the word v'yisru, liyaser, is a word that lends itself to multiple translations. Liyaser literally means to torture or to make somebody suffer. Yisurim, right? So one translation of that, liyaser, to make somebody suffer, is to subject them to lashes. I mean, certainly if the person is subjected to lashes, he's going to suffer. So that's how Rashi, again, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, understands this phrase, v'yisru oso, that he is going to be lashed, as the first round of trying to convince the Ben Sora or Amora to take a big step back and, embark on a different path. It's interesting to note that both Targumim translate v'yisru oso differently than Rashi. The Yonason ben Uziel writes, V'yach senun yosei. They should admonish him, which does not carry the implication of any kind of physical punishment. They should admonish him. Now, of course, you can argue that the two are not necessarily contradictory. Even Rashi, who describes v'yisru oso as flogging, as malchus, there's some element of verbal admonishment that's taking place. In other words, they don't just haul the guy to bed and throw him on the ground and start beating him, They yell at him, they tell him, you have to change your ways, you have to go on a different path. But it's interesting, according to the Yonason ben Uziel, he doesn't explicitly reference the notion of malchus. Again, it's hard to argue that he would argue on that concept of malchus. The Gemara says that the first stage in the punishment of the Ben Sora or Mora is malchus. However, in terms of interpreting the pasuk, the Yonason ben Uziel is saying the malchus, in a sense, is just a physical manifestation of the verbal warning. Really, the point of the malchus is not so much a punishment. It's trying to, convince the child, who's this young adolescent, to give up his terrible ways and to go back on the proper path. The Targum Onkelos, interestingly enough, is even more striking. The word the phrase v'yisru oso, according to the Targum Onkelos, is translated as umalfin yosei, and they teach him, they instruct him. The Beis Din has to instruct the child in the proper way to act. So again, as we said before, all three of these interpretations, Rashi that we're talking about malchus, the Yonason ben Uziel that we're talking about admonishing, and the Targum Onkelos that we're talking about teaching, are all appropriate ways to translate the phrase v'yisru oso. Again, we know, just to take other examples in Lashon Kodesh, Yisurin is suffering, so certainly the idea of Yisru Oso as meaning Malchus is an appropriate translation, a translation which is easy to understand. But the famous word Musar, we're holding an Elul, right? Musar, what's Musar? Musar is admonition, Musar is teaching, Musar is trying to guide the person in the right way. That's also from the same Shoresh, from the same root, V'yisru Oso. They should admonish him, they should teach him, they should show him the right path. In truth, as we pointed out before, all three interpretations are complementary rather than contradictory. Why is he getting Malchus? To admonish him and ultimately to teach him to follow the right path. Sometimes the best way to teach somebody is to inflict a kind of punishment. It's not just punishment for the sake of punishment. It's instruction. It's trying to get the child, to go on the right path. Right, but interesting to note how the Targumim focus more on the Musar aspect, whereas Rashi is highlighting the punishment aspect. Beyond that, there's a fascinating Yonason ben Uziel, which opens up opens up a lot of discussion, and on the surface, it's not immediately obvious how to plug this position of the Yonason ben Uziel back into the way the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes the process of the Ben Sora Omora. Right? So let's go back into the Psukim for a minute. This Ben Sora Omora has stolen, he's overindulged in meat and wine. He's been given a first round of punishment, malchus, admonition, teaching, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't work. V'lo yishma aleihem. He doesn't listen to them. He doesn't listen to his parents. So, second round, right? You don't listen the first time, okay, we're going to up the ante. So his parents grab him, they bring him to the elders of his city, i.e. the Bezdin. The parents say to the Bezdin, this child of ours is wayward, he's rebellious, he's just not listening to us. Zolel v'sove, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard. They make that declaration, and what happens? Immediately, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Urgamu kol anshei yiru ba'avonim v'meis. He gets skila. He's stoned to death at that point. Right? You had a chance. You know, you had the chance to, after that first round of punishment and admonition, to back off. You didn't back off. Sounds like this, you know, it's not three strikes and you're out. It's basically two strikes and you're out. Right? That's what it sounds like from the Psukim. And once they bring him to Bezdin the second time, that's it. That's the end of the story. That is the simple reading of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the way it describes the process of Ben Saro Mora. Comes the Yonasan Ben Uziel on Pasuk Chaf, and he tells us the following. V'yemru l'chakime karto. The parents bring the child to the Bezdin, and they say to the wise men of the city, the members of the Sanhedrin, as follows. Avrinon al gzeiras meimro d'Hashem. We violated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. Begin Cain is yalid lana b'rano dein. And because we violated Hashem's decree, that's why we have this child, to whose suravon umarod. That's why we have this child who is so wayward and rebellious. He doesn't listen to us. Gargaron bebisra, bishatai bechamra. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. What's the Yonasan Ben Uziel talking about? We didn't listen to Hashem's word, so that's why, you know, we have this child. So here, the Yonasan Ben Uziel, explaining the Mefarshim, is referencing the, you know, the statement of Chazal. Rashi brings it in the parasha as well, that how is it that this Ben Sorer Umora is born? How did this child come to be? This child is the product of a Jewish man and the Eshes Yifas Toar, the non-Jewish woman whom he encounters in war and has a relationship with, where the Torah tells us, the beginning of the parasha, that, you know, you can have, the Torah allows such a relationship under certain circumstances. However, the Torah frowns upon such a relationship, and as a sign that that kind of relationship is going to end up in a bad place, Chazal tell us, okay, you want to enter into a relationship with an Eshes Yifas Toar, this beautiful non-Jewish woman whom you encounter on the battlefield, guess who the product of that relationship is going to be? A Ben Sora Mora. It's not going to work out well. It's not going to work out well. What's that? So there's a process to which she converts, right? But
still not good.
But it's not good. It's not good. Yeah, to date we have not dealt with any, you know, Noshim Yefos Toar, haven't had it really come up. That's the Yonasan Ben Uziel is referencing, you know, this idea, you know, that the, but it's very striking. Okay, it's one thing for Chazal to say that when a man gets involved with an Eshes Yifas Toar, this is going to be the result. Okay, Chazal say that. But the Yonasan Ben Uziel goes a step beyond the Medrash Chazal. The Yonasan Ben Uziel says that when the parents come to the Bezdin, they make a point of saying, you know why we have this Ben Soro Rumore? Because we messed up. First of all, who's we? I mean, it's the father's fault. Yeah, he shouldn't have gotten involved with an Eshes Yifas Toar. It's the mother's fault. What do you want from the mother? The mother, in a sense, is the victim as well, right? But the Yonasan Ben Uziel seems to be saying that it's not just the act of getting involved with an Eshes Yifas Toar which brings about a Ben Soro Mora. This woman is coming from a foreign culture. She's coming from outside of Yiddishkeit. And, you know, almost the likelihood is that she'll be unable to really transmit the values of Yiddishkeit to her children. So the parents are coming and saying, it's our fault. In other words, yes, it's the child's fault, but we bear a certain degree of responsibility for where this kid is coming from as well. If he's messing up, it's because we messed up. It's not just a statement of fact. It's apparently something important for the parents to recognize as they bring the child to Beis Din. So right off the bat, that's an interesting chiddush of the Yonasan ben Uzziah, that the parents are supposed to acknowledge their role in creating this child. Again, as far as I know, that doesn't appear in the Gemaras and the Midrashim. Yes, the fact that an Eishes Yifas Toar will produce a Ben Sora Mora, that does appear. But the notion that the parents have to articulate that they have to say when they bring the child to Beis Din, you know, this is our fault, we're partially at fault as well over here, that I think is a Chiddush Yonasan ben Uzziah, as far as I know. But then it gets even more interesting. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Chumash says, they stone him to death. Period. Very simple, straightforward. Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Yonasan ben Uzziah is far less simple than that. The Yonasan ben Uzziah says as follows: V'hei in dachil. So after the parents make this speech and they bring the child to Beis Din, if the child is frightened, umekabe aloi ulfana, and he accepts to be taught, he accepts the admonition which is being aimed at him, uba'in lekayomuse, and the parents, that's presumably who it's referring to, ba'an just means they. They, who is the they over here? The parents. If the parents want to keep the child alive, mikaimune, so then they can keep him alive. In other words, even the second round around, you know, the parents come to Beis Din, and they're essentially giving musar to the child again, and the parents are admitting, and it's our fault. So then the Beis Din says to the parents, apparently this is what the Yonasan ben Uzziah is saying, the Beis Din says to the parents, okay, so what do you want to do? What do you want to do? So at that point, the parents can say, you know, we'd like to keep him alive. We have no interest in killing him, right? That's not what we're here to do. We hope that he, you know, will accept this musar and come back to the proper path. V'in toivu marid. However, if the child is still interested in rebelling, ya'atlune kol anshe karto b'avnayev yumos. So then, this punishment of skila, of death by stoning, is carried out by the Beis Din. So the Yonasan ben Uzziah works into the pasuk a binary option, right? The parents, after admitting that they have a role to play in creating this child and putting him on the unfortunate path that he's on, can reassess at that point and say, you know what, we'd like to keep him alive. But if not, then they proceed with, you know, what's described over here in the pasuk, urgamuhu. Now this does find, this is rooted in what the Gemara says, but sort of with a twist. The Gemara does say that the parents can be mochel. In other words, the parents are the victims over here. You know, it was their meat and wine that was stolen. It's their son who's acting up and rebelling against them. If the parents, after he, if the parents choose not to bring him to Beis Din, so then they can be mochel, and he doesn't have to be punished in this kind of way. However, the Gemara also indicates that once he's gotten malchus and he's brought back to the Beis Din for a second time, at that point they can't be mochel anymore. That's what the Gemara would seem to indicate. The Yonasan ben Uzziah seems to give the parents veto power up to the last minute, up to the very point where he's about to be stoned. The parents could say, look, we don't want to go through with it. Right? Which is, again, an interesting perspective that the Yonasan ben Uzziah brings to this whole case. And it's also interesting to note, as we said before, that the Yonasan ben Uzziah has the parents taking some degree of responsibility themselves for what's going on over here. Again, it's hard to know, you know, how we really paskin. You know, the Gemara says that, we never had a case of Ben Sora Mora, so it's hard to look back in the books and see how this was, you know, what's the minug? What's the minug with Ben Sora Mora? We don't have a minug, you know, it wasn't ever carried out. But, you know, it's fascinating to see from the Yonasan ben Uzziah many more escape hatches, as you will, as you were, to allow this very, very strong draconian punishment not to be carried out. Yeah, okay, it's good to have it on the books, you know, to encourage young, you know, bar mitzvah boys, you know, to follow in the derech hayosher, in the proper path. But there's so many ways over here to prevent it from actually happening—a very, very scary thing, you know, for the child to be executed in that kind of way. That's the Yonos Ben Uzio brings, you know, these additional ideas to the fore. I wanted to start taking a look at something that we'll end up going into more detail with tomorrow. Bez Hashem, we'll have the shiur tomorrow as well. So I just want to start this, and then we'll continue tomorrow. So the pasuk a little bit later on, Chof Beis Hey, writes as follows: Lo yiyech li gever al isha, a instrument of a man should not be on a woman. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha, and a man should not wear the dress of a woman. Because the abomination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anyone who does these things. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that the pasuk here is prohibiting cross-dressing. Right? In other words, a man can't wear a woman's clothing, a woman can't wear a man's clothing. Why is that? So Rashi writes over here, Shetei Dome Le'ish, right? If men are dressing up as women and women are dressing up as men, it's no doubt, you know, to achieve some kind of illicit sexual purpose. So, you know, the Torah prohibits cross-dressing. Okay, that is certainly true, right? The Torah certainly prohibits cross-dressing. There's actually a comment of the Ramban, which is important halacha lemaisa. The Ramban writes that if we just left things here, you would come to the conclusion that cross-dressing is only a problem when the person entirely dresses like somebody of the opposite gender, right? If the whole point, as Rashi explains over here, is that the woman is pretending to be a man so she can fit in, you know, and weasel her way in among men and vice versa. So that should only apply if the person, you know, takes on the dress of the opposite gender in its entirety, right? You know, would it be a problem for a man just to wear a single feminine garment or vice versa? So halacha l'maaseh, of course, the answer is yes. You know, that even wearing a single garment, you know, the woman is dressed entirely as a woman, but she happens to be wearing one garment, you know, which identifies her, which is exclusively associated with men. So the Ramban writes, that's also going to be a problem. You know, even if, you know, in many, many other ways, she's dressing in a way that's appropriate for a gender, even just having one garment is going to be problematic. But what's interesting over here is the fact that the Torah uses different terminology for describing how a woman dresses as a man versus how a man dresses as a woman. Lo yiyech kli gever al isha, the kli of a man should not be on a woman. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha, and a man should not wear the simla of a woman. Why not use the same word? The point is cross-dressing, right? So why use a different word in both cases, right? So I'm going to kind of pose that question, then Be'ez Hashem, when we pick up tomorrow, we'll pick up with that question, try to explain how the Targum Unculus is sensitive to this distinction between kli and simla, and that this distinction between kli and simla is not just a sort of arbitrary linguistic distinction, but has very important implications halacha l'maisa, you know, on a practical level, which Be'ezus Hashem will talk about tomorrow. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Lefikach, Hirbo Lahem, Torah Umitzvos,